morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? We awake? You survived Battle of the Bands? I mean, there's something about the Chicago Bulls intro song that gets me fired up. I mean, you could be like announcing that me to go do my chores, and I would get excited if the Chicago Bulls intro theme song was playing. And you know what? Here's a good transition. Speaking of things I'm excited for, guys, this is the last week of the Wake Up series, and this has been an awesome series, and we're going to talk about the final step of waking up.
Remember, at the beginning of this series, we talked about opening your eyes, and I got to share the story of me almost drowning, but my dad coming to save me, and I reminded you guys, hey, there's a lot of you treading water, and it's time for you to reach out and accept the saving that the Savior is offering you. After that, we talked about hitting snooze. Bree and I were up here on stage together, and we learned that there was a fourth reason, and that's when I felt I didn't hear my alarm, for those of you that were there. And then last week, Addison talked about, man, the first thing when our feet hit the floor, the basics of our faith, and that is community and getting into God's word. We talked about time, place, plan, and now this brings us to the last step of waking up. What do you guys think it is? Get up, close. It's the thing that all of you do the second you put your feet on the floor, and it's run the race. Which, okay, I know maybe there's a stretch there, but guys, spiritually, that is what we're called to do. And maybe you don't necessarily sprint right when you get out of bed, but that's what you're doing throughout your day. You're running from class to class. Maybe those of you that work have meetings that you go to. Guys, we're running the race. And so that's what we're going to get to talk about today, is running the race. So if you want to go ahead and open your Bibles, if you brought them, to Hebrews chapter 12. And while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you a story about a time that I, the not runner Cooper McCullough, ran a race. So in college, not many years ago, I was a sophomore, and someone challenged me to run a half marathon. Is there any marathon runners out there? Yeah, I'm sure you could do it if you tried. But not many people have run a marathon, so I thought I would decide to start with a half marathon. And being the sophomore in college I was a genius, and I was like, I'm in pretty good shape. So I don't really feel that much of a need to prepare. But one of my friends, she was a runner, and she was like, you have to prepare or you will crumble in this race. So she wrote this plan for me. It was like, basically you start with like running 3 miles and then five, and you kind of like work up to running a lot of miles. And I was like, man, I can train and run a lot of miles, or I can just run 13.1 miles one day, and then that would be less running. So I decided to do that. Except guys, the week before the race, it was a Tuesday, and I was struck by what was upon me. And so I was like, you know what? I need to start training. And so this is, I mean, less than a week before I'm running this half marathon. So I go into Dallas Baptist University's gym, Go Patriots, and they have a treadmill. And I just turned on the treadmill, and I just started running. And I ran for 7 miles, and I was like, that was pretty easy. Like, I could probably do four more, and I'll be good. So I just got off the treadmill, and I went back to my room. And then that Sunday, the Lord met me. Because it was race day, and so I was lining up. It was me and my friend. We were both going to run the race together, that's a pro tip, run the race with a buddy. And as we were lining up, I was hoping there would be like a gun, kind of like you see in movies to like start off. It was just like a beep. It was not as cool. But we were all in this like big herd, and we started running, and I was running, and I'm like, I mean, I've run 3 miles before, so like I was fine at kind of at the first half, but I realized my friend was going to run a lot quicker than I was, so I respectfully said, Zach Funderburk, you are a far superior athlete to me, so go onward, my friend. And as he did that, he ran an incredible pace, and he did an awesome job, and then in the back was me, Cooper McCullough, the not runner. So I'm running, and guys, something you need to know is this marathon, it's called the Cowtown Marathon. Mile 9 is entirely uphill. It takes place in Fort Worth, and it is an absolute beast. And so as I was running mile 9, I was, first of all, questioning everything that I had ever known. And I got up to the top of that hill, and you're breathing, but like I wasn't going to stop because I knew if I stopped, then I wouldn't be able to start again. But I looked to my right, and I saw just angelic glow of a blue porta potty. And I went and I got in the porta potty and I shut and locked the door. And I mean, I was exhausted. Like I was literally just leaning up against this probably disgusting wall of a porta potty, like huddled against the wall, like, Lord, if you get me through this, I promise I will serve you for the rest of my day. Like making all these promises to God of like, just get me through this race. And so then I was just, as I was curled up on this public restroom, I just was like, all right, 19, 18. I counted down to 20. I got out of the porta potty and then I finished the race. And as I was like running through the finish and I kind of crossed and then instantly I was like trying to remember how to walk with like my hamstrings and my quads, which is opposite muscles, were both cramping in the same time. It was horrendous, and I do not recommend running a half marathon unless you put in the proper training. Because guys, I did not train for the race, and then because of that I was not able to run well. And the only reason that I finished that race is because I told my friend I was going to finish the race. I'm not going to be the guy that stops on mile 9 in the porta potty for forever. I'm the guy that stops in the porta potty for 20 seconds. So it's a big difference. But guys, that's the story of my life of running the race. So with that in mind, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So this is going to be our main passage for today. Obviously, talks about running a race, talks about a lot of things. The biggest question I had when I first read that is like, what does great cloud of witnesses mean? That's not something we're going to focus on, but just so you guys know, chapter 11 talks about all these heroes of the faith. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, in light of all these heroes, this great cloud of witnesses, let's remember them and do these things. So that way you don't get tripped up by it, but just it's not super important to what we're going to be talking about today. Because, guys, there's three things that I think we can remember from this sermon. And they actually all start with an R, so that's good news. And the first one is remove. As we read in verse 1, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off, or let us remove would be another way to say that, to keep with the theme of ours. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And so let's start with like, okay, why? Like, why would I throw off? One, the Bible tells you to. That's obviously like a great reason. But another reason is if you don't remove what's slowing you down, you will never be able to run the race the way God has called you to run it. It's going to be slowing you down. And so an illustration that I think of for this is when I was, I think in middle school, I heard this story from like my teacher that was old and wise. And I'm like, man, you have so much knowledge. But he told me this story about elephants in India. And a lot of people, there's like elephants are more common there. And if you own an elephant when it's young, you get like a thick rope and you tie it around the elephant's leg and then you tie that rope to a tree. So like this is an example of kind of a smaller elephant being tied to a tree. And it's not like mean. It's as if you were like in the Old West, like you ride your horse and you tie up your horse to go inside and come back out. This is just how they train their elephant. And when the elephants are small and young, they try and they're not strong enough to pull away the rope from the tree. However, when elephants grow, they can grow up to 14,000 pounds. That is like the weight of 4 cars and just a little bit more than my bench press. So pretty heavy. And so as these elephants grow up, the owners continue tying their leg to the tree and they have learned, hey, when I struggle against it, it's useless, like I'm stuck. So this next picture shows you an adult elephant. Or is that the only, yeah, okay, great. This is an adult elephant, I mean, simply a massive animal. And it's got this tiny little rope that's tied to its leg. And this elephant does not move from the post that it's been tied to because when it was young, it was taught, hey, stay there because you can't move. Like, they're like, oh, it'd be useless for me to try. But in reality, like, if they literally took a step, the rope would snap. And I think that's a really good illustration because I think there's a lot of you that don't even know that you can throw off what's hindering you. Like a lot of you are like, man, I have tried in the past so many times and it's impossible for me to let go of that. But man, with the power of Christ, once you've accepted him as your savior, he empowers us to be able to throw off these things, throwing off what hinders and throwing off the sin. And so that's the next thing that I want to talk about. There's two things mentioned here. is throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. So there's two different things. So one, we know what sin is. Sin is doing anything that God tells us not to do or not doing anything that God tells us to do. So disobeying God, that's what sin is. But he also mentions things that hinder. So not everything that hinders you is necessarily sin. A couple examples that come to mind is video games. That might be one for you. Maybe you're not taking your faith seriously because you're too busy playing video games. Are there any Fortnite fans out there? If Providence sixth grade boys were here, every single one of them would have been raising their hand. My small group boys love Fortnite. But whatever it is, maybe it's video games. Maybe it's just time on your phone. If you're old enough to have a phone, maybe that's social media or you play games on your phone, you're texting your friends. Maybe spending time with friends in person could be something that's hindering you. Another thing could be sports. That was one for me when I was growing up. We would miss church on Sundays sometimes because we had sports. And so, of course, sports took priority. We paid to do sports. So, hey, you committed. You have to go to sports. So maybe that's something that's taking away. But as I was thinking, I didn't want to just give you guys, like, these meaningless examples that, like, aren't necessarily true of my life right now. So as I took some time and, man, was thinking through and praying with the Lord, hey, what is something that I am allowing to hinder me right now? What came to mind was a lack of discipline and then procrastination. And so while these things aren't necessarily sin, they're slowing me down. They're tying my leg to this tree. And guys, it's so important for us to recognize, like I've already said it, but that through Christ, we can throw off this sin and also things that are hindering us. Because, man, we want to run the race in the way that God has called us to run it. And so how do we do that? It starts with confession. And so what that means is having people around you that know you fully, like know the, man, if like you're probably thinking of something right now that you're like, man, if my friends knew that I did this, they would never want to talk to me again. Or if my parents only knew what I did. Like, there's probably something that's coming through your mind. You need to have people in your life that know every aspect of you. They need to know even that. And because if they don't know you, how are they going to be able to help you through that? And that's the next thing is, do people even know that you're struggling? You have to be willing to confess these things with the people that you're doing life with. I would encourage you, if you're not in a small group, that is an incredible place to start. If you're sitting here and you're like, that sounds dope, I'd love to be in a small group, you can go to the wake desk after service and someone will be there. And you can grab one of those cards and your parents can email us and we will make sure that you get put in a small group because we believe, and that is the ministry that's going to change your life, is the day in and day out life on life relationships with those people. Another option is joining Students for Regen that meets on Monday nights. If you have questions about that, you can talk at the desk as well. There's some Regen fans out there. And then my third question with that is, are you even struggling at all? Because a lot of times I think it's cool in Christian culture to be like, man, I'm really struggling with that. But in reality, that means, man, I'm really just doing that over and over. I've taken no steps to distance myself from this sin, or I've put no screen time on my phone so that I don't waste my time on it. We're not doing anything to actively prevent these things. A cool example for me, I was talking about that lack of discipline. Man, on Wednesday this week, a lot of you know him. His name's Jonathan. He works in Wake. He's celebrating his one-year wedding anniversary with his wife right now, so that's why he's not here. It's amazing. 1 year of marriage, more than I've ever done. But he talked to me on Wednesday, and he sat me down, and he said, Coop, I love you, but I have some feedback for you. And I was like, okay, buckle up. And he said, hey, man, I've noticed through this year of doing the residency with you that there are times where you kind of coast. Like, you'll do just enough to allow people to think that you're doing things well. But in reality, like, I know you're capable of more. And as he said that, I was like, man, that is so helpful to hear. I was like, thank you for loving me enough to tell me something that could have hurt my feelings. But because you're willing to tell me that, I can now see it and say, you know what, you're absolutely right. I think that's a lack of stewardship of what God has given me. And man, that is just a shameless plug for community and doing life with people and allowing them that space to step in and, man, tell you something that you might not want to hear for your good. So that is the first point. So before we ever start running this race, we have to remove or to throw off the sin that's entangling us and that which hinders us. And that's what was represented in my story of the half marathon by not training. If I would have taken time to train, I would have been able to run the race well. But because I didn't, I was not able to run that race well. And so once we've thrown off and removed these things, the next step is to run. It's to race. Is there anyone that enjoys running? Man, you guys are gifted from the Lord. Because I am not one that enjoys running. When I was in middle school, I played soccer. And I had a soccer coach. His name, funny enough, was actually Coach Steve. So he did not use a tambourine, but his name was Coach Steve. And Coach Steve loved to watch us run. He didn't run, but he loved to watch us as a soccer team run. And so whenever Coach Steve would ask us to run, he would never tell us how far we were running. It would just be like we were misbehaving, and then, all right, start running. And then we would run these laps around the fields where we'd have to sprint the short and then fast jog the long, and it is exhausting. But when I say run, that's probably what some of you think of. Like, man, I get disciplined, so I have to go run. Or, and man, maybe your coach says, hit the fence. That was my seventh grade football coach, Coach Mac. What a guy. But guys, that is not the type of running that God is calling us to. There's not this aimless, meaningless running of just like you're in trouble, so you need to run. Because God's not just like some mean coach who wants to make you run for the sake of running. And he's a loving God who wants to help you run. God is not some mean coach that wants you to run for the sake of running. But he's a loving God who wants to help you as you run. Because he knows it's best for you. He's saying, hey, come on, Coop. Let's go. Hey, let's throw off that sin that so easily entangles, man. Let's get around some people that know you and are willing to call you to a higher standard. Come on, commit 24 hours. Let's live for me 24 hours. That's the kind of God that we serve. Because you have a race marked out for you. It says in these verses that we talked about, the race that is marked out for us. And man, what does that mean? That's the Christian life. The race that's marked out for us, the call, the expectation is full devotion to God. And that's a pretty high bar. But that's what we're called to. Is man, everything in your life should point towards him. That's what we talked about, those little things that are hindering you. Even those, man, even the way you play video games should be pointing towards the Lord. And that sounds goofy, but genuinely, like we should live our lives for Christ. And so what does that look like, man? Fixing our eyes on Jesus. That's the only way you can do it. When you run, you have to have a goal. And that is how we ourselves can run as Christians, is to looking to Jesus and the example that he set for us. Because through him, we've been given the opportunity to run and to follow Christ. It says he is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. That means that, man, without Jesus, your faith is meaningless. Like if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then your faith is nothing. So, but because that is true and Jesus did those things, we can have a faith. We can live according to the way that God would call us to live through Christ. He is who makes our faith perfect, even when we are imperfect. And that next part in there is, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And I want that to really, that sounds so weird. Because of his joy, he endured the greatest suffering of all kind, of all mankind. Jesus died a death he didn't deserve. It was roughly 7 hours that he was hanging on the cross. After being whipped 39 times, because if he was whipped 40 times, he would have been considered legally dead. He was hanging there. And in that moment, he says, hey, this is joy, because it's going to allow the students of Wake to come and have a relationship with me. That is how much God loves you. He would consider the worst suffering of all time joy because it would give him a chance to have a relationship with you. And as you're thinking, man, why would I want to run? That's who we get to run for. The God that would give everything for the opportunity to have a relationship with you. And it was worth it because that's what it meant, that you would possibly have a relationship with him. So more, hey, why do we run? There's a couple verses that come to mind. The first one is 1 Corinthians 9, 24 and 25. It says, do you not know that in a race all runners run? Talking about a real race, like a half marathon. But only one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Man, so we get to run for an eternal glory. like while people here train themselves and Olympians like put time towards being the very best, man, they're going to win a medal that's not going to go with them when they die. It's going to be hanging up in a closet or maybe some museum or maybe a family member will own it, but it's not something that they can take with them. But man, what we do here on earth, God is going to remember that. And we can read that in Galatians, or we'll read that later, but looking at Galatians 5:5, another reason we run is through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. Man, we have an eternal hope. So while when we're running the race here on earth, it might be hard, but we know that, hey, we get to look forward and think of an eternal hope where we will be with God without suffering, with no hardship. It says there'll be no tears. And that is what we get to look forward to. So as we are here, let's run as hard as we can. Let's live with full devotion towards Christ to the best of our ability. Because, man, even when it's hard, we know that in the future, we have a hope to look forward to. And then not only do we have a hope to look forward to, but if we read John 10:10, the second half, it says, I, Jesus, came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So not only does God offer us an eternal hope, but even here on earth, Jesus came so that we could live according to the way that he would call us to live, and that is life to the full. Like, you're not getting gypped by living as God would call you to do. As your friends are going and doing things that you're like, man, I know I shouldn't be doing that, but it looks so fun. Man, this is telling us, hey, you're gonna have more joy and less scars if you live the way that God calls you to live. You're not missing out on the good life because you're not doing the things that God would prevent you from doing. It's actually more freedom. 1 John 5:3 says that for this is the love of the Lord. That's not the verse. Sorry, I totally blanked there. But what the verse is that, and this is God's love, that we would obey his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. That's why you should put your verses in your notes for sure. But guys, like I said, we have an eternal hope, and then we also have a hope that we get to enjoy life to the full while we're here on earth. And so the first point is we want to remove. The second point is we want to run. And this third point is that we are called to remember as we run. So I want to tell you another story of 13-year-old Cooper. Paintball. Any paintball fans? Man, when I turned 13, my dad said, Cooper, for your birthday, we're going to Gat Splat. And I don't know if you know what Gat Splat is, but when I was 13, that was like the paintball place. And guys, you don't know my dad, but my dad is a paintball legend. He used to play in college, which is like, I don't even know how you play in college. But he and his friends would play, and they would put their paintballs in the freezer the night before so that when they would shoot each other, it wouldn't burst, so they would get to keep playing, but it would just hurt really, really badly. And that's the kind of paintball. We obviously, 13 years old, did not freeze paintballs. But just so you can have this image of, man, my dad was an awesome paintball guy. And so I'm 13 years old, and I'm playing paintball at Gat Splat, capture the flag style. It's my team, my little squad of birthday party people against, I don't know, my mortal enemy at the time. They were probably nice people, but not on that day. And my dad prepared me because I was wearing like two pairs of sweatpants and like long sleeve shirt and a sweatshirt because I did not want to get hurt by a paintball. They don't hurt that bad, but 13-year-old me was like nervous, you know? And so my dad prepared me. He's like, all right, this is your armor. We're getting ready to go into battle. I'm like, yes, sir, commander. You know, I'm like, I'm bought in. And so as this capture the flag game is going, we're getting down to the wire. It's tied up. We've captured their flag once. They've captured our flag once. This is all the marbles are here, all the paintballs, as one might say. And it's me and my dad hunkered in at a bunker. It's just like for those of you, it's kind of like a bounce house almost material, but it's like literally like a little bunker. And so me and my dad are behind it, and it's just poof, poof, like paintballs are bouncing off. And he's like, all right, it's time for us to make the move. I'm like, Dad, no, I don't want to go out there. Like, I've like shot my gun once this whole time because I'm so nervous. I've just like been hiding behind the barricade. I feel awesome, but I look like a wimp. And I'm like, okay, I'm hiding, like probably knees just absolutely shaking behind the bunker. My dad's like, all right, look, I'm going to run around this way. I'm going to grab the flag. I'm going to run as far as I can. And then as I'm getting shot, I'm going to toss you the flag. And then you're going to take it to the base. And I'm like, Dad, no, please. Don't leave me here to die. You know, like my whole life is flashing before my eyes. And he's like, no, you're good. You got it. We're going to do it. And so everything goes slow motion. Just my heartbeat pounding in my ears. And he stands up and just like it's like Rambo has just come out. It's just Gatling gun. He's running. I'm just, no, please. I'm there. I'm like cowering. My dad, he runs. He like reaches over because he's a man. It's like made for 13-year-old boys. Grabs the flag. running. And he's just, I mean, his back was absolutely covered in paint. Just everyone on the team just, you know, the little paintball guns. It sounded like missiles, bombs flying. I'm hunkered down. I'm like, what was that? You know? And so my dad, his back is painted with paint, and he tosses the flag to me, and behind the bunker, I'm just, you know, and I turn and I run, and I plant the flag in our base, and I got shot in the back once, and it didn't feel good, but it could have been worse. But after the match, you know, my dad, he's like shows me his back, like pulls his shirt up or whatever, and I mean, there was probably like 7 constellations worth of paintballs there. Yeah, I saw the big and the little dipper all on his back. Like, it was ridiculous. But as that happened, man, I like pull up my sleeve, my arm, and there's like a tiny little like mark from where I got shot, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, battle scars, you know? But guys, that's a hilarious story. But man, that is kind of how our faith is. Like, Jesus has done all this work for us. Jesus is willing to literally run to the enemy base, go grab the flag. All he does, he hands us the flag, and then we get to do our small little part. And just, boop, that's exactly right. Just plant the flag there. Because, guys, but Jesus didn't say that a life that's devoted to him was going to be easy. Right? Like, I still got shot, and I made light of it, but in the moment, like, it didn't feel good to get shot. And I was like, man, I kind of, like, I'm having fun playing paintball, but getting shot is the worst. And there's parts of that that are true in our Christian life. Man, Jesus took the full weight of the cross, but there are still things that we can experience that don't feel good. Jesus literally promised this in John 16, verse 33. He says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Man, Jesus has done the hard part. He's already defeated death. He's taken the first initial wave of paintballs, to go back to that story. But man, it's our part is we might get shot during this Christian race. If we look back at verse 3 of Hebrews 12, it says, consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Essentially saying, hey, as you're experiencing difficulties while you're living out your faith, remember Christ, because he was murdered for you. He experienced this extreme, excruciating pain, and he didn't say, hey, I did this so that your life can be easy as can be, but he said, I did this so that you could go free. And there might be some people on this earth that don't like that you love me, but hey, I know what that feels like. I took the full weight of that on my shoulders so that you wouldn't have to. So, man, why is it worth it to run this race? I look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 10. So we are of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We are away from our home. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage. And we should rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And then this is the key. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Guys, we're going to get to give an account for what we do here on earth. Man, our salvation is by faith through, like, by grace through faith alone. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. But once God has saved you, man, we get to live for him. And there's going to be an opportunity where we give an account for the way that we stewarded what God gave us on earth. Hey, were you faithful with what I entrusted you with? We're going to get to give an account before God. Man, don't you want to give all that you can give him? Don't you want to give God all you can give him? Like, in heaven, we're not going to need any, like, thing. Obviously, we'll be provided for. But man, looking back on earth saying, God, man, I wasn't perfect and thank you for your grace, but I did as much as I could to serve you. And now I cannot wait to worship you for eternity. Man, why not have an earthly experience that you can point back to and say, God, it was such an honor to get to serve you. And I'm so grateful that you would consider me your son because of what you did. Because, man, as you look at your life, don't you want to live for something that actually matters? Don't you want to live for more than just going through your day worrying about what others think about you? Don't you want to live for more than trying to make the best grade on a test? Than just trying to be the most popular person in school? Than trying to get the starting spot on the team or first chair in band or the lead in the play? Man, don't you want to live for more than just that? Because today is the day to decide that you're going to live for more. Today is the day to get to do that, guys. You were created for a purpose that's so much greater than yourself. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, might no longer live for the ability to be liked by people, might no longer live so that they can get the best grade on the test, might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Guys, that is the gospel. God is offering you the freedom from living for yourself. I tried it. I told you about it when I was up here last time. I tried to live for myself, to live for morality, to be good so that my family would love me, my friends continued to hang around me, my teachers respected me, everything I thought was good. I tried to find it in myself, and then one day, it all crumbled, and I realized, man, I cannot be my own God, and you can't either. And God is reaching out his hand saying, hey, just take it. I want you to live for more than yourself, because that isn't where freedom is found. So guys, as we close, I want you to think about this. Man, what stage of this race are you in? Are you carrying all these things, trying to run around? Like, do you have these burdens, these sins, these things that are hindering you? Or are you starting to run your race? You're like, hey, I've been able to throw off some things, and I'm not perfect, but I've been able to start running. And as you're running, man, I would encourage you, you have to remember what Christ has done. Because if you're doing it on your own strength, you're going to crumble. So once you think, man, what stage am I in? Also, I would love you guys to think through, hey, why am I running this race? Why do I claim to be a Christian? Well, my parents told me I was, or all my friends are, or I go to a Christian school. I go to church on Sundays, so I think I'm a Christian. Think through, hey, why do I run this race that I'm claiming to run? Who are you living for? And I hope, man, as you go throughout your day, that those questions would resonate and that you would think about those, because this is the last day of the series, and I want you to know, hey, it's time to wake up and live for more. You don't just have to live for yourself. You can live for all that God is calling you to live for, and that's for him. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for your word, and thank you so much for sending your only son for us, people who were in active rebellion for you. God, we decided to wage war against you, and yet you would point at us and say, hey, I want to save those people. I want to save those Wake students. I love those ones, even the ones that hate me. That's who I love. God, that blows my mind. And I thank you that it's so true, and your word reminds us of that. I pray that you would continue to teach us through your word, and that you would allow us to throw off, to remove what's hindering us, to run the race, and then as we run, remember. Jesus, we love you, and we can only do any of this by your strength, and we're so thankful for it. In your name we pray. Amen.